Indeed it is, and we're going to talk with Major Ed Deames about several things, remote viewing, obviously, but Ed lives once in a while in Kiev in the Ukraine, where they're having incredible problems. Who better to talk about that than him? So we'll check in with him in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast with our dear friend Major Ed Deames back with us. And Ed, I trust you and your family, your loved ones are okay.
No, they're situation. Not, George.
They're not. Oh, my God. What's going on?
Yeah, I just got back from Ukraine about a week and a half ago. I'm heading back again next month. I managed to I have an apartment. Natasha and I have an apartment about 3 kilometers from Maidan Center, Independence Center in Kiev. And I got her out of there just in time into another city. It's funny. We were in Sri Lanka for a vacation last month for about 10 days, and it was wonderful. But before we left, just before we left, I said, you know, Natasha, I have to tell you, as a remote viewer, your country is about to disintegrate. And she became very angry. And I anticipated that, of course. But it's sort of the reaction that I get from the public. Remote viewing, being able to see the future, I see loosely, remote viewing is a lot of work, but it's sort of a blessing and a curse at times to be that skilled.
Yeah, you know I know, I can see that, especially during episodes like this, and this really strikes so close to home for you, Ed. I mean, we've been worried about you and your family.
Well, even far away from the madding crowd, meaning Kiev, people are being shot just walking out of their homes. Our friends are very much in danger and hurt. The supermarkets are out of food. The markets that always have food, they're not operating because the vendors are afraid to be out on the streets because of random shooting throughout the country.
Prior to this episode, Ed, what was it like living there? Was it nice?
Well, life is grim generally in Ukraine, except I've lived there 9 years. And in 2005, life was grim, except in Kiev. Kiev has 40% nominally of the taxpayers' money. The rest of the country gets the rest. Life is grim. But towards 2007, there actually became the development of a middle class. Young people were starting to, entrepreneurs were starting to open boutiques, internet repair centers, and things like that. And life was beginning to start anew. And then 2008 came the collapse, economic collapse, mini collapse, nothing compared to what we're about to undergo this year worldwide. But it was very sad to watch virtually overnight all the construction stop, all of this nascent middle class evaporate, and it's been grim ever since, except for Kiev.
Yeah, and now look, we've got reports of over 100 dead and about 600 injured. Can you
now watch this happen? I was very Natasha and I both very much supportive of these very heroic people, braving bitterly cold weather day after day, week after week. In the center of Kiev, I watched the Lenin statue come down. Ironically, if in my autobiography, you'll see at the back of the book, Natasha and I standing in Lugansk next to a Lenin, big Lenin statue. Very interesting. The situation is only going to get worse. Despite the AP announcement hours ago of a possible truce. Yeah, nothing's going to happen until Yanukovych steps down, goes to prison, or meets the same kind of fate as Muammar Gaddafi.
Is that the big issue? They want him out?
Corruption. It's corruption. Corruption at the utmost of corruption. This man is corrupt to the hilt. And that's the reason. It isn't anything else.
I think it's, on one hand, when you look at this, I mean, there's no doubt there's issues there. There's corruption, as you just mentioned. And, you know, people are taking to the streets because they're fed up. And I look at what happened there, what's happening in Syria, what's happening in Libya, what's happening all over the world, Egypt. Can that happen here, Ed, in your opinion? People get so ticked off that they say enough is enough. We're tired of this. And they do this?
Well, if you use the U.S. as a contrast, I'm going to use another contrast in a moment. It's very, very different. We're very spoiled. We have, you know, we're spoiled. In Ukraine, for instance, the average retirement pay is $75 a month. If you're really, really wealthy, you make upwards of $375, $500 a month. And that doesn't buy a lot. It doesn't even buy an apartment, rental. But that's the kind of economy we're dealing with. But you still have the 1%, just like you do anywhere else. In fact, I was in a shopping mall that Natasha took me to a couple of weeks ago. It was the nicest shopping mall I've ever been in my life, in Canada, Switzerland. I have never seen anything like it. It was so beautiful in Kiev. So it's really contrast. There's a lot of contrast there. But until this corruption ceases, the revolution is not going to cease. I want to use a comparison. Let's look at Putin, Russia's Putin, and Ukraine's Yanukovych. They're both dictators. They're both dictators. Okay, hands down. I think most people would agree. But there's a big difference between Putin and Yanukovych. Putin loves Russia. He loves his country. Yes, he's a dictator, but he loves Russia. Yanukovych is a dictator and could care less about the people of his country. That's a big difference.
That is a huge difference, Ed.
Yeah.
It is a huge difference. All right, tell me about your family situation now. You've got an apartment there. You say you're going back in a few weeks. Why? Why are you going into this strife?
Take care of my family. Yeah, I mean, you know my background.
I don't know your background.
A top dog in what I did. So I have a personal plan. I projected I had escape plans and all that in place because I told Natasha what's going to come down. But I can operate both here effectively and there effectively too, strategically and tactically. I need to be in both places. To take care of my family, the people I love. And the listeners here, when things, this 2014, my in-house, my colleagues say that 2014 is the year of doom, because I talk about it so often. All the things that I've talked to you and your listeners about over the last couple of years, I've said the best guess that we can do as remote viewers in terms of a confluence of events, social, sociopolitical, economic, geophysical, all those things seem to come together as a confluence in 2014. And we're here now. So you've got to dig in. What I mean dig in is, at the very least, take care of your family. And you've got to take care of yourself first, because you can't take care of other people unless you take care of yourself. So I hope I'm listening to a I hope I'm talking to a responsive audience. I'm a little bit out of sorts right now because it's been a long day.
Well, our prayers to you, Ed. Okay.
Thanks.
I mean, my Thanks. Gosh. Well, are you still going to be conducting your seminars and stuff?
Yeah, basically, almost the final presentation that's sold out. There's no seats available in Reno. That's that behind closed doors presentation that I've been giving, sort of a swan song. That's in Reno. I think there's only a couple of seats left. But I'll still be teaching. I have one basic course scheduled in Reno on the 26th and 27th of April. The kill shot map, the survival zone map that I talk about behind closed doors,
yeah.
What I'll do with the basic course is after hours, I'll probably distribute this map to the attendees and talk about it a little bit. I cannot discuss the other topics that I talk about behind closed doors, but I'll do that. To the basic, the basic course focuses upon the fundamentals of remote viewing. So I can't really spend time discoursing during the day, during the training day, on these other types of things. It's too important to teach people how to do what I do.
Most people that I run into who have been through your course just think it's phenomenal. I was at a UFO Congress in Scottsdale last weekend, and I ran into someone who has two friends that went through your program, and they just love it. They just love
it. Well, it changed my life to learn this. The father of remote viewing, to whom I became a protege, may he rest in peace, Ingo Swann. When he taught this to me, this nascent skill, it changed my life, and it changes everybody's life, won't you? Because you begin to know that you can know anything, and there's so many things that you could know. You just have to turn your attention toward those things, whether it's a medical diagnostic problem or where the next nuclear burst is going to be, those kinds of things. It's the sky's the limit.
Ed, I want to talk with you a lot about remote viewing when we come back after the last half hour. Then we'll take some final phone calls with you next hour as well. But back to the situation in the Ukraine right now, then.
By the way, there's no the article. There's no article in Ukraine. Ukraine is, it's just Ukraine. There's no
Ukraine,
it would be like saying the Poland.
Yeah, Kiev, Russia. Ukraine, right?
Yes, just Kiev. When I was... when I was in Tom Cruise's office when he was making The Last Samurai, he wanted to play me in Suspect Zero. Instead, he got Sir Ben Kingsley. But as soon as he got back, he jumped on the set of I was out of his office literally 2 days before he came back from making The Last Samurai in New Zealand. We were shipping the dailies of Suspect Zero to him. He jumped on the set of the Mars movie over at Spielberg's production facilities, and when I saw that movie, in the very first 5 minutes in the Ukraine, because I didn't have a chance to edit that movie as well, there's no the. It's just Ukraine. I saw Ron Paul today. I like Ron Paul very much, and he made the same mistake.
If the president of Ukraine does not back down, what's going to happen?
Well, the opposition will not stop. They cannot stop. They've crossed the line. I don't mean that, you know, in a mean way, but there's no way they're going to back off from, whether it's clandestine activity, covert activity. They're not going to stop attacking till Yanukovych is displaced. That means either an election now rather than 2015, and that the Constitution of 2004 is reverted to. Those two things have to happen. The situation is very, very complex. I mean, simplistically, you could say, oh, well, divide the country into two, the Ukrainian speakers in the West and the Russian speakers in the East, blah, blah, blah. But it's much more complex than that.
Oh, it sure is. So when you get there, how do you fly there? Do you go to New York and then onward?
I don't like to give away my operations stuff in a time like this because for two reasons. One, I could be in danger myself, which is would ordinarily be no problem, but I can't take care of my family if something happens to me. And number two, if I say something wrong, if I say something wrong, I could easily become persona non grata if I say something about the dictator running the country and a word gets back to him. I could be stopped at the airport and sent home. But I have other alternative ways of getting in and out of the country that us former spooks are pretty familiar with. And I don't like to discourse upon those kinds of things over the air. But generally speaking, I like to fly Lufthansa to Kiev. I like the Lufthansa very much. I miss Germany. and get a chance to speak German.
And what do you think of the people? I mean, you've been there 9 years. You obviously like them.
The Ukrainians?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're wonderful. They live day to day, and friendship is very important. It's very interesting culture. I mean, I, having been married to a Chinese woman, I have Chinese sons. I'm very imbued with that culture. I speak the language, Chinese language, fluently. And now a Russian wife and a Russian stepson, and I'm learning Russian, very difficult language. So I'm well placed to understand the new superpowers that are coming of age. Yeah, I like the Ukrainian people. They're very much like Russian people, except in the West, where they're very much like Polish people, and they were historically the divide there is well known. That the Ukrainian women have to be their sister's keeper, and there's reasons for that. That if I said what the reasons were, they would make some Ukrainian men angry. But the women have to take care of themselves in Ukraine. The men, young men, are like young men in any other European country. But the middle-aged and older men, my father-in-law, for instance, was the navigation officer on a Soviet boomer, a Russian nuclear submarine. He is a supporter of Yanukovych, the president of Ukraine. He misses the USSR. He takes me out to Dakas with his friends, his old drinking buddies in the Navy. I have photos of this. And they all miss the USSR. So they're very much a supporter of Russia and anyone that supports Russia or is closely tied to them. Yanukovych is a puppet of Putin. He's simply a puppet. So, again, that's the simplistic part of the situation. It's much more complex than we could talk weeks about that.
Was he duly elected? Or
yes, he was duly elected, but the election was rigged.
Typical.
I hope that never happens in our country, tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, well, you never know. It probably already has.
Diebold, of course, corporation would never allow that to happen.
Of course not. Of course not. So do they like Americans out there in Ukraine?
For the most part, yes. For the most part, yes, too. But there's animosities and other things. It depends on how the American acts. Don't be an ugly American. But there are other things personally, obviously. When I'm in a supermarket, and the shelves are bare now in most of the stores, I say, but if I'm in a supermarket or even at the market, sometimes there's an old lady in front of me with one potato, a single potato. That's it. And that's the only thing she can afford. She has a few kopecks, and she can afford one potato. And everybody's looking at her, me as an American, and even all of the Ukrainian. They know that this is the dinner. This is her dinner for tonight. That's it for the entire day, a single potato. So life is different than it is here.
Well, it is indeed. Well, Ed, stay with us. We're going to talk a little bit about remote viewing and give some folks some tips. And then in the final hour, we'll open up the phone lines for you. Major Ed Dames with us here on Coast to Coast AM. His website, of course, learnrv.com, linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. If you need to follow us on Facebook and Twitter and like us, just simply go to coasttocoastam.com. Up there in the far right-hand corner, you just click the icons there, and we're coming up on another Facebook milestone. So those of you who haven't done that yet, go ahead and do that. And also don't forget to download our free apps that you can pick up at coasttocoastam.com in the Coast Store. Free apps for iPhone and Android. On our special guest tonight, Major Ed Dames, fresh back from Kiev, and he's going back in a few weeks. We're going to talk with him more about remote viewing when we come right back on Coast to Coast. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Major Ed Dames with us. Remote viewing, of course, is indeed his specialty. You felt this coming. You saw this coming, Ed, didn't you?
Are you referring to Ukraine?
Yeah.
Yeah. I held off on telling Natasha, my wife, the extent of the damage that the country would undergo. But yeah, I saw it come in.
Now, without me getting too personal, how many family members do you have over there?
Well, it's not just that I have a stepson and Natasha, but our family. In fact, my mother-in-law's birthday is today.
Oh, boy.
But we have a lot of friends, and it's really difficult for me. I've exfiltrated my immediate family, my wife and my stepson, out of Kiev. But there's so many of our friends there, and that's what makes it very difficult hour to hour for me now. It's because I know they face the same thing that many other civilians have faced, the same fate. Walk out of your house just to walk out, and you're shot in a random act of violence, and that's hard. That's hard.
Now, in the country of Ukraine, there's about what, 45 million people? Is that pretty accurate?
About 90.
90 million people? My gosh. Would it be about the size of Texas or smaller?
A little bit larger than Texas, a little bit.
Okay. All right. Now, outside,
but, it's the bread. It's the breadbasket of the former Soviet Union. I call it, in-house now, the basket case.
Yeah.
It's so fertile. China, Egypt, even the United States is leasing land there. China wanted to buy land, but Ukrainians said no. You have to lease it because we don't want to be owned by China, as like some African and Latin American countries, but. The land is very, very fertile.
Outside of Kiev, are there problems within the rest of the country?
Yes, yeah.
So it's all over?
Yes, there are.
How did this start? I mean, in terms, how do these events occur, Ed, and then, they just seem to fester, like,
Well, with the festering was there first. And young people, even older people who had nothing to lose, were so tired of the corruption. And there were two events, recent events, political events, that were instigated by the dictator president who owns the parliament. And those two events precipitated what's happening now. It was the straw that broke the camel's back. I won't go into all the political details. No need to.
Where do we stand, the United States?
Nowhere.
Nowhere.
No, and we should not stand anywhere, too.
We can't get it.
Hopefully we'll never bring democracy to Ukraine. We can't anyway. The Russians would never allow that. But that would mean drones and what else. NATO type of democracy.
Is there fear that the Russia will come marching in?
Well, to a certain extent, but it's already there. I mean, the Russians own Yanukovych, the president. They own it, and they have so much influence in terms of economics. In fact, that's one of the reasons why this recent series of events was precipitated, was because of Russian money and or lack thereof. But America's... there's a lot of oil that flows through, a lot of gas and oil that flows through Ukraine to Eastern Europe, to Western Europe, and via Russia. And your listeners can go and research that, and they'll see another side of the geopolitical economic situation there.
Look, with reason, but you sound really depressed these days right now.
My family's in danger, George, and my friends are too, so... it's not depression. I need to think on my feet. I need to think on my feet. And I've been doing that all day.
All right. So when you go back in 2 weeks, let's assume this is still continuing, and I'm sure it will.
And it will be, yes.
I mean, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go? I mean, your apartment is very close to all this. It's right in the middle of it.
Yeah, we'll have to abandon that for a while or permanently and do other things. I have plans. I've had plans in place for a while. I just didn't tell Natasha because I didn't want to upset her. You know, sometimes...
You always have a backup plan. I know you.
Not just one. You have to have several in cases like this, too. But as a remote viewer, I have an edge. That's why it's so wonderful to be a remote viewer. Sometimes it's not, because you see things that you don't want to see, but that's the game, nature of the beast.
Are people working there, Ed? I mean, what's going on economically?
Well, in Kiev, no. Everything's shut down, even the metros, for the first time in 20 years.
Oh, my God.
Since the Orange Revolution, the last revolution. The first time the metro has been shut down, and people even stepping outside and getting shot in random violence.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's bad.
Prior to this, I mean, did it have fine restaurants and nightclubs and good life?
Oh, goodness. Oh, yeah. It was like, I sometimes compare it in my own mind to Beirut, Lebanon.
Which was the jewel of the Middle East.
Oh, it was the Paris of the Middle East. It was the Paris of the Middle East. It was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And now if you look at the before and after pictures of Beirut and the before and after pictures recently of Maidan, the Independence Square, you get the picture.
Yeah, you sure do.
Get the idea.
Yeah, you sure do. Did you have any assets there that you have to get out of there?
Oh, no, I knew better, George. In fact, I told Natasha, never put your money in a Ukrainian bank. I knew when the banks would fail. I said, put them in Russian banks. Because Russia's not bankrupt like the U.S. or...
No, they've got a lot of cash, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I mean, it's not... It's a single... it's a single economy, oil. It's just like Norway. It's just all gas and oil predominantly. But still, they hadn't... Like Norway, they had no debt. Whereas the U.S. was bankrupt long ago, we can never repay our debts. Russia and countries like Russia and Norway, still, they don't have any balance of payments.
Gosh, Ed, now I know why they call you Dr. Doom. I don't know whether to talk with you about the strife in Ukraine or the kill shot or what.
2014. It's just concentrate on this year. Get this is the year I've been talking about.
Are you bullish about anything on for the rest of this year? I mean, so far, it sounds, at least for you, it's pretty darn depressing.
Well, no, personally, I'm prepared. I'm just worried about friends and other people. I don't want to preach, George. I'm myself. Yeah, I have my own thing, too. I'm on the road right now, gold and silver treasures. I'm on the road right now.
You're working, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm working. I'm working on gold and silver treasures and missing children. And that's my thing. People that I train in remote viewing, they do their own things, sports, betting, gambling, and all that kind of thing.
Right.
But I'm my own man, and I do what I need to do. So I can't speak generally or generically or globally about people. I can only talk about myself.
How are communications out there? I mean, are you able to get through to them?
I told Natasha, I said, be prepared for all comma to go down. And so I made contingent arrangements. I told her what to do in case that happens, how to find me, how to communicate with me, of course. Yeah, I did that.
Absolutely.
You know?
I would guess their internet's probably down too, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. I made arrangements. I told her what to do, remember my background.
Is this going to get worse before it gets better there?
Yes, sir. Right. It will get very, very bad.
I mean, 100 people dead already. Some of that includes police officers out there too.
Yeah, but if the army is called in, and it was not called in during the Orange Revolution, that's a different thing. The army is that their allegiance is really not to Yanukovych, as opposed to the Department of the Interior, who owned the Berkut, which is the anti-protester police, and they're very bad. They're very brutal. The army, don't forget, is still made up of conscripts, and they're not going to readily fire weapons, big weapons, at their own people, because every time they even think about it, they're thinking about their own families. I've lived in the villages in Ukraine. I've lived in the cities, many cities. So I know these people well, and I know the army. I know the militia, and I know the police. I know the amount of corruption and where it is.
That could be.
If you have any questions, ask me.
That's just unbelievable. I wish we could talk about something pleasant for you. Take your mind off.
No, I have pleasant things in my own life, but those, you know, that's just me.
The search for the gold and treasures and the missing children, clients asking you to do this, or are you just doing this on your own?
Oh, no, those are, well, I have some clients that corporate and private ask that I work gold and silver projects for, but that's for me. And but the kids thing, everybody, Hollywood, even coast to coast, they think it's a downer. But for me, it's nurturing my soul. I mean, I see myself as being here on this planet, but I don't kid myself. I'm here for maybe a few more years, a couple of decades if I'm lucky, and I go on, whatever's left of me, that continuity, if there's any continuity at all, consciousness or whatever, whatever's left of me, I like to nurture it now. And I do it in my own way. I don't know why. I mean, I've tried to really interrogate myself deeply, and I don't know why, but it's missing children. Most of them are dead. Tangina Hussein in Detroit, I'm going back for her. You know, people say, why, Ed? You know, just one, it's a drop in a bucket, you know, an ocean. And I actually don't have an answer, logical answer for that, but it feels good at the
good
at a level
you.
That's very deep,
yeah.
And it feels something that carries on with me after I'm gone from my brief sojourn on the surface of this beautiful world.
How close are you, as a remote viewer, how close are you to being psychic? I mean, I would assume it's pretty darn close, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the same faculty that we're born with, being naturally psychic, but it's just a trained skill. We take that and we turn it into a skill, and that the ability to do that, the discovery of how to do the syntax and the grammar, if you will, how was discovered in the laboratory by people who are very dedicated, Dr. Hal Puthoff, Ingo Swann, my mentor, a natural psychic, and so it's just this. It's a, we turn that natural faculty into a skill, and that's never been done before. Psychics don't know when they're on or off target, and they can't teach what they do to other people. They don't know how. They don't know how they can do it, and they don't know how to teach it. But remote viewing is very different.
Over the last several years, have remote viewing techniques shown you anything that we need to be concerned about for the future?
Well, it isn't the techniques. The techniques are constantly evolving.
Getting better?
Yeah, getting better. But have they shown us that we need to be concerned with? Yeah. We're basically, as a race, destroying our planet. In fact, we've crossed that point of no return. It's sort of like the economy, world economy now. But the economy can bounce back in another form. I could go into detail about this if you want. But
yeah.
What we've done to the planet cannot be reversed. We're going down as a race. We've destroyed the planet. We've totally destroyed the planet. We've committed ecocide. Fukushima is the best example I can think of. Nothing in human recorded history can compare to the damage the Fukushima accident it has caused and is causing to the planet. Nothing. So it will, and you will see this soon. The next generation, the northern Japanese, will be look like the victims, the young victims,
yeah,
of Chernobyl or Fallujah in terms of depleted uranium,
yeah,
exposure, that kind of thing.
And it's not going away. It's getting worse.
It's done. It's a done deal. It's finished. That's why, in terms of sanctuary locations, from the kill shot, the solo kill shot, it was so interesting because it didn't make any sense that these sanctuary locations from the solar flares there were no locations at all, for instance, on North American West Coast, none in California, none in Oregon, none in Washington State, nothing in Alaska, nothing in Vancouver, until I got it. It's Fukushima, the constant bombardment of radioactive plumes, both marine and airborne, from Fukushima. It sterilizes the geography, man and beast. Yeah. Watch what happens. Watch the cancer rates go up.
And the radioactivity just doesn't stop. I mean, they had another issue just yesterday. You know, more radiation leaking into its water sources that I'm sure will go into the ocean, even though they said it didn't.
No, George, it's...
It's a big lie, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so serious. Nothing can compare to it in the history of, in the known history of man, in anything that I know. There can be nothing that can compare to this. Nothing.
Is it going to affect people on the West Coast here?
Permanently.
Yeah. How about Hawaii, where you used to hang?
Gone.
Gone?
Yeah. The plumes. I mean, it's so sad. Some of the worst aerosol plume passes just north of Kauai. And over the next few years, the concentration, marine concentration of radionuclides alone hitting the Hawaiian Islands will render that paradise not so much of a paradise anymore.
Jeez.
But it's not as serious. The Hawaiian Islands situation is not as serious as the West, as Vancouver, Alaska, and the airborne plumes,
yeah,
that are much faster hitting those locales and geographies, and that's where you see the cancer rates go really, really sky high. And just for your listeners' education, and those of you who don't know about Chernobyl, I mean, I lived in Lugansk for many years, and I lived not far from Chernobyl. But the plume from the Chernobyl accident went over Belarus to the northwest and landed, so to speak, in Sweden. And there were thousands of children that suffered thyroid cancers because of that plume coming down there. Belarus took a big hit. It was really, really serious there. Chernobyl proper, of course, if anybody has the stomach to look at the mutations, the human mutations in Chernobyl, go take a look. But that's what you're going to face. That's what the northern... Japan's finished. It's finished economically. It's finished in terms of ecocide. It's finished.
All right, Ed, we're coming back with you. We're not finished. We're taking calls next on Coast to Coast AM.